Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there. Our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Davo.
Not Dabo.
No, not Dabo.
Davo.
Davo. Hickory Devo. Dickory Dock. The mouse ran up the clock. Coach Sweeney got that drill. And now he is on TikTok.
With his receiver gloves.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. It's probably actually Devo.
Devo. It could be. I'll get up with Lee Battelle later and see if he knows the answer to this one. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Guys, if you own a business, you know how important printing is. Every business uses a printing service, and some are better than others. So why not go with the best? And that's Pip Printing and Signs. Cam Baker and those guys, 30 years of experience working with businesses in this state. They know how to get your message out. They know how to get customers through the door and keep them coming through the door over and over again. Tell them you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning when you call 601-499-5216. Don't forget, if you're a Bulldog, you want to join the Bulldog Initiative, you can do it with Pip Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. I read the thread. I know that you are looking for new Mississippi State gear. Get it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by the Fleet Feet. By Fleet Feet. Flowed by the Half Shell. We'll go with that. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. The holiday season is upon us. It's time to start thinking about those gifts. What do you want to put under the tree for the Bulldog fan in your life? Find them a perfect gift at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to grab lunch in the city of Starkville and you want to get a blue plate, there just isn't a better one than the one you can get at Restaurant Tyler. Tremendous selection of meats and veggies, tremendous cornbread. And if you're not a blue plate person, you want to get a burger, you want to get a sandwich, they got all those three great options for you as well. When I'm thinking lunch, I am usually thinking about Restaurant Tyler. That's what you should be thinking, too. Over on the corner of Main and Washington, Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where their locations are, but they can also show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's just so important to be able to talk to people about your money and get answers when you have questions. Get them quickly and get the correct answers. You can do that with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I got to sneeze. It's just sitting there. It's here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, maybe. Hey. There it was. I muted there so you wouldn't have to hear that. That was oof. That was a bad.
Thank you.
Do you get those dad sneezes? They're like, they just take over your whole body when you want to sneeze.
I mean, it's been like that for a while now.
It's probably a process. Before I even,
yeah.
I'll sneeze and immediately my back hurts.
Yeah, it's an ordeal.
It's just, you remember when we were kids, you just sneeze, you move on with your life. Now I need like a couple minutes after I sneeze. It's just to make everything right. All right. A little later in the show, Jackson Fuller was going to join us from the Southwest Times Record. Covers the Arkansas Razorbacks. Get his thoughts on this Saturday's game. But first, Robbie, I wanted to talk about a topic that I know is near and dear to your heart, a topic that you love talking about, and that's Mississippi State's defense. Am I right in my assessment here, Robbie? That
yes, I love talking about the defense every day.
Yes. So we spent a lot of time this offseason talking about Mississippi State and Ole Miss from 2020. Kiffin's first year where Levy was there with him. And we talked about the offense and what it looked like. And we talked about how bad that defense was. And we kept saying things like, this defense won't be that bad. It won't be that bad. And lo and behold, Robbie, we're kind of at this point now where that defense is on the verge of being that bad. That defense gave up almost 39 points per game in that season, 383 points in 10 games. Their low for the season was 20 in the bowl game, and that was against an Indiana team that most of that team had opted out. Michael Penix wasn't playing. He was injured. They weren't very good. The only other two times they were under 20 points that year were against – or under 30 points, I should say, were against Vanderbilt, who finished 0-9. Not a lot to crow at there. And then against Mississippi State. And if you remember that game, Mississippi State set an – Will Rogers set an Egg Bowl record for passing yards in a game. They moved the ball up and down the field. They just had that red zone turnover that cost them a touchdown, and they were back close to the red zone when the game finally ended. So, long story short, that team didn't stop anybody. Mississippi State's defense this year is kind of similar in many ways. The difference, one of the big differences is that State had the luxury of playing an FCS team, and then you would like to say the luxury of a Big 12 team and a MAC team, but Mississippi State lost both of those games. That Ole Miss team played nothing but Power 5 teams, 9 conference games and then the bowl game. They played maybe their best defensive game of the year that season against Arkansas. However, they lost that game because Matt Corral threw 6 interceptions, 2 of which were returned for touchdowns. So Arkansas has 33 points in this game, but 14 of those points come off of interception returns. So in reality, Arkansas only scores 19 points in this game, but Ole Miss gives them 2 touchdowns and field position a couple of other times in a 6 INT game. So I guess that's my question, Robbie, is do you have any faith, any belief, but is this Mississippi State defense capable of having one game this year where they play above expectations and allow the offense to have a chance to win?
I think it's capable of, getting off the field a little bit, interceptions, stuff like that. I mean, I think that we saw that against Texas at times. They scored 30-plus points and averaged 500 yards, but there were times where I'm sitting there going, the defense has done everything that they possibly can for you at this point. Didn't see it as much in Georgia. Last week, they were right there. So, to me, you're talking about one play. Like, surely they're capable of, stringing together some of those possessions where they're able to get just one play, an incomplete pass, the other team screwing up, something of that nature. I think it's certainly possible. I don't think it's impossible for this team to get off the field by any means. I just think right now they're doing things that is kind of shooting themselves in the foot and keeping them from getting to that point. I think a lot of it has been, Mississippi State working against itself and not just, the deficiencies that they have, whether it be coaching or talent or whatever. I think it's just State just doing something to, get in its own way. The third downs, you have yourself in position routinely. There were very few third downs that were third and 4 or less. Most of them were beyond 5 yards. So, to me, that tells me they're doing things right on first and second down, and on one down, they can't make the play they need to make. That's kind of the difference. Like, if you make a few of those plays, the game looks totally different for Mississippi State. I think that they certainly can string together a game where they're able to do that. And whether that's, the other team screwing it up, whatever, you take it. But, they're definitely capable of doing it, I think.
If I tell you State got a couple of big plays on defense this weekend, are you thinking that they were able to, get to the passer and get some sacks and force some negative plays? Or do you just think, well, they must have gotten some turnovers out of the secondary? It feels like that's the answer, that they forced a turnover or two. But at some point, Mississippi State has to break through and get a couple of sacks against an SEC opponent, don't you think? They had 2 against Texas, but can they do it again, I guess?
Yeah, that's the question. That question was asked this week and to some players, and I think Levy too, just about how do you get more pressure? Do you need more pressure, whatever? And they certainly do, man. I mean, I think they definitely have got to be in the quarterback's face a little more, create some havoc, because that's where a lot of those negative plays come from, whether it be sacks or interceptions or whatever. My answer would be that it would be the defensive backfield or, forcing a fumble. It'd be a turnover that is probably where you're getting those plays from over sacks, because we just haven't seen them sack the quarterback often enough. So that's probably where I'm sitting with that.
Arkansas this week, you're going to hear this in the interview we're going to put up here in just a little bit, but look like they're going to be missing their leading rusher on the season, Jaquindon Jackson. Told that they don't expect him to play this week. He's rushed for nearly 600 yards and 10 touchdowns on the season. They're going to go to Braylon Russell, who's only got 127 rushing yards on 27 carries for the Razorbacks this season. Big. Let me stress this word again. Are you ready? Big running back. Have you seen this kid?
Is he a thick boy?
6'1 and 253.
Oh boy.
Feels like he should be more of a pulling. He would have been a pulling guard 40 years ago. Now he's actually carrying the ball. That for a Mississippi State team that has struggled wrapping up and getting tackles, that's a little. I mean, obviously you're glad that Jackson's not playing. He's one of the better running backs in the conference, but that feels like a problem for Mississippi State.
It's going to have to be, a couple of guys getting in there, just kind of flying to the ball type defense. I think that's where it comes into play, where I think State's got to be, loading up the box, selling out to stop the run. A three-man box, a light or three-man defensive line, maybe a 4 or 5-man box. I don't, a light box doesn't really help Mississippi State this week, because this is an Arkansas team that likes to run the football. So, you and I think, are on the same page. Is I think State's got to sell out to stop the run in this game. That's what Arkansas does really well. And, with a big, strong running back like that, I think that comes into play even more so this week.
A really good litmus test to see if this defense is truly as bad as we think it's going to be. When you look at what Arkansas has done this year in terms of their schedule and the points they're scoring in SEC play, they've scored 24, 17, 19, and 10. So the most points they've had is 24, and that was against Auburn, who I want to say in that game threw three picks. And maybe one of those was returned for a touchdown. Let me check that box score real quick. So they just
Kind of
have
a chaotic game.
Arkansas. No defensive scores in that game. But as I did mention that, Arkansas was able to get four interceptions total in that game. So Mississippi, this is an Arkansas team that has not scored a lot. If they come into Starkville and put 30-plus points up on the board, it just I feel like every week we're like a trial lawyer just accumulating evidence, and then when we get to the season, we're gonna ask for a judgment on Coleman Hutzler.
I mean,
Do you think?
State's offense has been better than
Yes.
Arkansas's offense in SEC play.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not too worried about State. Now look, Arkansas's defense has been good in SEC play. Going back to what I just said, I mean they're 2-2
They're
in the
about middle of the
conference.
pack.
Yeah, they're 2-2 in the conference. And they give up 14 to Auburn, 21 to the Texas A&M team, only 14 to Tennessee. They did give up 34 last week to LSU. LSU's a little bit of on a hot streak right now. This is a game Mississippi State should be able to put some points on the board. And I'm not asking for the MSU defense to hold Arkansas to 15 points, 20 points. If you can just hold them to 27 points, I think State has a great chance to win this game. So that's my question. If I tell you right now that State scores 31 points, do they win this football game?
Think they do. I think it's probably like I could see like 31-24, 31-27. I think they can hold Arkansas in the 20s. I wouldn't shock me at all. Playing at home. Do you know State's giving up 39 points a game in SEC play?
I do know that.
That's 8 points more than the next team, which guess who it is? Alabama.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
Second worst defense in the SEC.
Yeah.
So gosh, I would have never expected it.
In terms of scoring defense, let me see if I have it right here, I think. Where'd it go? Scoring defense. Great radio right here as we go through all these stats here. Can I just get the full page of this? Good Lord. So just in terms of I just have total defense right here. There it is. Scoring defense, total defense. State is dead last in SC in all games. This is just all games, right? 449 yards per game, almost 450 yards per game. So that's 80 yards more than Florida, who is the 15th ranked team in the conference, right?
So 496 in SEC play.
Yeah, I'm just looking at all games, right? Because I think you got to bring the Toledo game in on this. So that's 449.
It's even worse in these games.
Yeah, so it's 450 to 370, okay? So that's an 80-yard difference. 80 yards is the difference between Florida at 15 and the next one would be Georgia at I'm sorry, that's not correct. That's 80 yards. Would be the difference between Kentucky at 4th and Florida at 15th. So, again, 80 yards. Kentucky is giving up 283 yards per game, and Florida is giving up 370 yards per game. So a little bit closer to 90, but that's about the gap, right? Between 4th and 15th in the conference is the same gap as between 15th and 16th in the conference.
State's leading the conference in field goal percentage.
They are. In terms of points per game, again, this is all the games included, right? State is giving up 33 points per game on the year. 15th is Florida, 23.5 points per game. That's a 10-point difference. The same difference would have Florida, or the same difference between 4th and 15th. Missouri, and it's actually more than that. Tennessee's only giving up 12 points per game. Missouri is giving up 16 points per game. So I guess technically it's third. It's third. That's the same gap between the third best defense in the conference and the 15th best defense is the same gap between the 15th best defense and the 16th best defense. That is a sickening statistic. It literally doesn't make any sense. So
they're not good. They're not good.
They're just not good.
It's exactly what we were talking about in the summer. Like, this defense is going to have to be chaotic. They're going to have to force turnovers. They're going to have to disguise blitzes, things like that. When they just sit back and just let a team try to keep everything in front of them, they have no shot. The only shot this team has is to create some chaos. And right now they're middle of the pack in the SEC in turnovers. That's solid. If you can keep bringing that up, then you're starting to talk about you're giving your team a chance. That's
picked up in the last 3 weeks too.
Yeah, they're going to have to force turnovers.
Yeah.
That's your only way to get off the field. You've got, seven turnovers on the year in SEC play, and a lot of those have come since the Texas game. So yeah.
We've had six in the last three games, if I'm correct. I think you had two against Texas, two against Georgia, and two last week.
Six out of seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their shot. That's their shot is just create chaos. Because just sitting back and playing man for man, this team will have a shot.
I want to clarify one thing you just said. You said you and I talked in the offseason about how we thought this defense was going to be. We both said it was going to be bad. We did not think it was going to be like this.
Not this bad.
No. We thought, they'll probably be.
And that's pretty bad because we thought they would be among the worst they've
had. We said if they could be the 90th ranked defense, State would probably be okay. Instead, they're in the 120s, and this is where you are. Again, this number is just incredible. And I give credit, by the way, Charlie Winfield and Bart Gregory talked about this on their podcast on Out of Left Field. The gap between State and Florida at 15 and 16 is the same gap as between 3 and 15. That's really tough to do. It's just really tough to do. And State still has to play some pretty good teams, pretty good offensive teams. Tennessee, Missouri, and Ole Miss. I know Ole Miss and hasn't been having a great run of it in conference, but they certainly have firepower. Tennessee is the same way. So that number could continue to go up for Mississippi State. I don't know that they'll get to where Ole Miss was, averaging giving up 38 points per game, but they may be close to it. So we'll see if that defense can show up this weekend. And just for a few series to give the offense, what State needs to have happen is what's been happening to State, and that's State will score, and then the other team scores, and then State doesn't score, and the other team scores. You got to flip that. You got to be the one that gets the extra possession in there. If State's defense has got to find a way that once they score, that they get the ball back to the offense without the game being tied or without being behind, so on and so forth. We'll see if that can happen. If it can, State has a great chance to win. If it doesn't, they're in real trouble. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, well then, go check out one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. Almost every town's got one. You can't go wrong at any of them. Our beef business in this state does nearly $500 million a year for our state and our people. Support those guys by buying and eating beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I haven't stopped thinking about the build-your-own basket since yesterday. I'm ready to go back again and go get another basket. I'm gonna change it up a little bit. I know I didn't like the pork belly and everything, but they got so many options. I'm going to play around with it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hit that up next time for sure. I was kicking myself that I didn't try that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna like slip it. I'm gonna make a comment to somebody who hasn't been in a while and be like, hey, let's go to Two Brothers, and just. It's just my plan right now. I can't get it off my brain. Also, when it comes to if I don't want the basket, I might want to go get my favorite sandwich in town, the Croque Monsieur, at the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. When you want to eat somewhere that's unlike anything else in Starkville, that's why Starkville's best new restaurant is the Older Brother. If you haven't been there yet, check them out. Right there in the heart of the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 49 years. 40, I'm sorry, not 49, 50.
50.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's the same number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not I'm on hold for 45 minutes. It's not your business is important to us. Please hold, some of our menu options have changed. Don't know why Neil Price was doing that. I don't know. Hi, this is Neil Price. Please hold for our next available operator. And hail State. I don't know why that happened, but it did. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. 601-362-9192. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to head over to Maroon & Co. and get some new gear. If you're looking for Mississippi State gear in Starkville, the best place in town to go is Maroon & Co. just because they have a better selection than just about anybody else. You can find the same shirts at all of the other guys. But when you go to Maroon & Co., you're going to be like, I have never seen that shirt before, and it's awesome. Let me buy it. And you can save a little money. Thunder15 is the promo code. You can use it in-store or online and save 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the game this fall, go to Maroon & Co. Earlier today, I talked to Jackson Fuller. He covers the Arkansas Razorbacks for the Southwest Times Record. Also a loyal Chelsea fan. I know you're very excited to know about that as we're playing a little later this afternoon in the Europa Conference League. So I know you're not this afternoon. This afternoon as you're listening. Not this afternoon as we're talking, Robbie. So just don't go to Paramount Plus looking for the game today, Robbie. It's not till tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
I promise I won't.
I appreciate that. I just want to keep you up to date. Jackson Fuller, talking about the Arkansas Razorbacks. Want to welcome in Jackson Fuller, covers the Arkansas Razorbacks for the Southwest Times Record up there in the state of Arkansas. He's been on with us many times before. And Jackson, I think it's fair to say this Arkansas team has overachieved to a certain degree. Maybe the record doesn't stand exactly where you would like for it to, but this Arkansas team has been pretty good through the season, but they've been up and down. Last week was a down. Do you think this week can be an up for the Razorbacks?
Yeah, Brian, I think, they've definitely overachieved. I mean, I think they probably should have won the Oklahoma State game, and and then pull it off the big upset that they had been missing the past couple seasons against Tennessee. I think they can bounce back. I think LSU in a lot of ways was a bad matchup for Arkansas just because of how good their offensive line and quarterback are. And they really kind of were able to take advantage of some of, you know, Travis Williams, the defensive coordinator's core philosophies. This week against Mississippi State, I think Arkansas, like if they're as good of a team as the coaches and the, you know, the players believe they are, they win this game. But the Hogs have had a lot of issues with Mississippi State over the past 12 years. So I think it's going to be probably a closer game than maybe a lot of people expect. And that's, I think the spread's like 6.5, 7.5, something like that. That seems like a lot of points for a road SEC game to me.
Some injury news for both teams. Mississippi State, you know, Matt Zenitz of 24/7 Sports reported earlier that Mario Craver, State's exciting freshman receiver, likely to be out this weekend. You tweeted on Wednesday that Hogs running back Jaquindon Jackson is going to be doubtful for this game. What is the latest on him? And if he can't go for the Hogs, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't think he plays this week. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and we get a surprise on Saturday, but he played against LSU and he was not on the SEC's availability report all last week, but he looked banged up right from the first snap. I genuinely don't think he took back-to-back snaps all game. It was usually like he'd get a carry and then he'd come off the field and they replaced him. He's been banged up all season. I think they're going to give him a couple weeks off here. And you know, Arkansas has a freshman, Braylon Russell, that the coaches have said is kind of going to carry the rock this week, and big, really huge running back, like over 240 pounds, not the quickest of guys, but can run over people. And it'll be interesting to see if maybe the running game, the scheme of it changes a little bit with no Jaquindon and Braylon coming in. Again, maybe we're surprised by Saturday morning and Jaquindon's ready to go, but even if he is, I think it's going to be a snap count and limitations, and he's not going to be maybe the feature back this weekend.
What's been more surprising to you about this Arkansas team, the success they've had offensively, or the major improvement they've had defensively from a season ago?
You know, neither has really surprised me too much. I think the defense has been the more impressive unit, and that's for sure. I mean, the LSU game was really their first bad game. They gave up 38 points to Oklahoma State, but the offense committed 3 turnovers, and there was some, you know, a special teams miscue involved, and the defense played well enough through the first 3.5 quarters to win that game. I think the improvement of the linebacker core and the secondary with a couple key transfers and guys who have been hurt this year has been surprising. But at the same time, you know, the defense played pretty well through the first half of last season, and then it kind of fell off at the end. That's one thing I'm looking for the last 5 games of the season is, can they avoid that same kind of fall off and, you know, really close the season strong, because they have been so good through the first 7 weeks.
Kalen Green has been a really good player for Arkansas this year. His touchdown to interception ratio is not great, 6-6, but he's completed almost 59% of his passes. He's given him 300 yards in the run game and 4 touchdowns there as well. I thought coming into this season that his play would be a big part of why Arkansas was or was not successful. Just from your own expectations of him coming into this year, what did you think of him so far?
I think he's exceeded my expectations. I think he's been a little bit better of a passer than I thought he would be. And his impact in the running game has either matched my expectations or exceeded them. He hasn't been as effective running the football in the past 2 weeks, and I think that's had a negative impact on Arkansas. But they've gone up against Tennessee and LSU, 2 of the better defensive lines in the country. So maybe this is a week where he kind of gets right with the running game. The passing he's been efficient, more accurate than I thought, but the turnovers are the one thing that's kind of holding him back. And in Arkansas's 3 losses, they've lost the turnover battle in those games 9-1, and he has had interceptions or a fumble in all of those games, and they've been critical turnovers, not just like, you know, oh, it's an interception the second quarter and Arkansas's defense gets off the field. No, it's been a pick 6. It's been an interception that leads to an LSU touchdown, a fumble that leads to a Texas A&M touchdown. He's got to take care of the ball better. That feels like maybe the last step for him in his development. And if that happens, I think Arkansas can really close the season strong. But it's kind of as simple as that. If Arkansas turns the ball over, they have a really difficult time winning football games.
Arkansas 4-3 on the season. You know, one game remains with Louisiana Tech towards the back end there. This game feels like it's crucial for Arkansas in terms of if they want to go to a bowl, they have to have this one. Otherwise, you're talking about trying to beat Ole Miss, try to beat Texas, or try to win at Missouri. Is that the vibe you get from the Arkansas team when you've talked to them and their fan base up there, that this is a crucial game for Arkansas and for Sam Pittman?
You know, I feel it from the fan base. I definitely think that and believe that that's the proper way to view this game. I don't necessarily feel it from the team, because I think that the team has been confident all season. There's definitely a better energy and just belief within the program this year. I think even if they were to lose this game, they feel like they could snag an upset victory against Ole Miss or Missouri or even Texas. I mean, that's going to be a crazy environment with Texas coming to Fayetteville. So I don't think that the program's kind of treating this as like the most critical game, but I agree with you, Brian. Like, if they lose this game, it's kind of hard to envision a path towards bowl eligibility. I think Sam Pittman goes back on the hot seat. And if they win it, I think that there's probably I would put 90% chance Sam Pittman's back here next year, because it's going to be a 2-win improvement. Assuming they beat Louisiana Tech, they're going to get to a bowl game. And, you know, I think they've got a great shot to beat Missouri and Ole Miss. Neither of those teams have looked unbeatable this year. And, you know, if they get to 7 wins, it's a huge, huge improvement and exceeding expectations for the program.
If you've watched Mississippi State at all this year, you know that defensively Mississippi State's just not good. We'll just call it what it is. Arkansas has already lost one shootout this year to Oklahoma State. That was the game where you mentioned turnovers. Huge reason they lost that game to the Cowboys. Do you feel good about the Hogs being able to win a game that gets into the 30s and the 40s? Because that's where I feel Mississippi State has to be if they want to have a chance to win.
No, to be quite honest with you, I don't feel good about that. I think if Arkansas is going to win this game, the defense has to play well and can't let Mississippi State get into the 30s or the 40s because of those turnovers, because Arkansas hasn't been very efficient inside of the red zone. I think there's a world where Arkansas gets to 30 points, but if Mississippi State's scoring 35, I mean, we haven't seen Arkansas score, you know, in the high 30s all SEC. The offense has been... It started out the season really well, but it's been a little disappointing as of late. And no, I think you're right. Like, Mississippi State will want this game to be a shootout, and Arkansas is going to want it to be, you know, I think Mississippi State should be able to score on Arkansas, but can they get to that 30 number? I don't know. I think if Arkansas keeps them at 24, 21, something like that, the Hogs will have a great chance to win the game.
Every week on the podcast, we do our offensive and defensive playmakers, the guys we think will have the biggest impact in the game. But we also pick an X factor, a guy who maybe he doesn't have a huge game, but he makes a huge play that kind of turns the tide for his team. For Arkansas, who would that guy be? Take away the big names. Who's somebody maybe under the radar that could have an impact on this game Saturday?
I think one person to watch is on the defensive side is Eric Gregory, defensive tackle. Landon Jackson gets, you know, all of the love and the praise on the defensive side. He's probably going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. But, you know, offensive lines, they can double-team him at times. But if he has a good game and opens up rush lanes, I think this Arkansas defense has been really good when one of their defensive tackles also has a great game and complements Landon. And for me, that's Eric Gregory this week. I think he's one guy to watch along the defensive line that, you know, Mississippi State hasn't been great running the football this year. If Gregory plays well and kind of keeps that theme going, that'll be a big boost for the defense.
We'll see what happens this morning here at Davis-Wade Stadium as Mississippi State takes on Arkansas in a game that is absolutely crucial, in my opinion, for both sides. Jackson Fuller, Southwest Times Records, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
All right, thanks to Jackson. Appreciate his time. Robbie, he made a comment that he does not believe Arkansas can win in a shootout, which it's good news for Mississippi State if they can put some points on the board. But that being said, I think Jackson says that because he's coming to this game from the experience of only having watched Arkansas and not really having seen how bad Mississippi State is defensively. I feel like this game is going to be a shootout and both teams will be in the 30s.
I can see it playing out that way too. I mean, at some point, though, State is just going to have to find a way to get off the field on defense. Like, this is the game where they've got to have a little bit of a turning point. I mean, I'm not saying this defense has to come out and hold Arkansas to 10, but can you just keep it in the 20s to give yourself a chance to win the game? Because, like, when you're getting in the 30s, it's really difficult. I mean, you're going to have to be really precise on the offensive side of the ball, because I believe Arkansas's defense will get off the field. I think they're going to be able to force punts. I think they're going to be able to force turnovers. They can do that. You know, they got a middle of the pack defense in the SEC. They got guys up front. They got defensive backs that can make plays. State's going to have to make enough plays in this game where you're forcing four or five punts, where you're forcing a couple of turnovers. They forced five punts, I think, in SEC play, if I'm right on that.
I think you're correct.
You got to equal that in this game. I need five punts. Can this defense get off the field five times? Because I think that it's realistic that Mississippi State scores two or three touchdowns on those five possessions. That changes everything for them. So this is that's the biggest thing for me, is like, you just got to find a way. It doesn't have to look pretty. You can give up 500 yards, but are you forcing punts? Are you forcing turnovers? Are you holding them to field goals instead of touchdowns? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the difference in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll see what happens. All right, tomorrow's show, 3 P's, preview, playmaker, predictions, brought to you by Sanders Reynolds for Mississippi State and Arkansas. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. One moment before we go. Robbie and I have some exciting news. It may be exciting. Have you ever wanted to watch a podcast of two guys talking about Mississippi State? One of them is really handsome king and the other one is not. Well, great news for you. Starting on Sunday/Monday, Thunder and Lightning will be available on video on the Super Talk YouTube channel. All you got to do is subscribe to the Super Talk YouTube channel. You'll get a notification, and we will have this podcast up every day that we do the podcast. You'll be able to watch it on YouTube every week. So you can see Robbie's handsome face and my face, and there you go.
Excited.
I am.
We've been trying to do this for a while. We've just been like working through the
I'm going to figure out how to make some logistics graphics or something. I'll make it work.
And you know, at first it's going to be just fairly raw video.
Yeah.
It's basically going to be what you hear in the podcast. What did you say?
Raw video. We were talking about that yesterday, weren't we?
No, not that kind. Not that kind.
People are finally going to get to see all the faces I make when I'm talking. It's going to be great. So yeah, look
we
forward
can't
to
really
that.
Hide our, we can't really hide, but whenever we fit in, you know, shots that we take and Easter eggs.
When I point at you to make you laugh. Yes, you know what I'm saying. So what are you doing?
We can't do that anymore.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more about that on tomorrow's show where you can find us. So, all right, guys, have a good one. We'll talk to you again on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.